Welcome to Software Testing Unleashed, the podcast for testers, developers, and software people who want to create best quality software. My name is Richie. I'm a software quality coach, author, and keynote speaker. And today, my guest is a recommendation by you, by the people who are listening to this podcast. And you mentioned to me that I should do an episode with Cassandra. And so I did. We talked about the role of a software tester nowadays in projects, about the responsibility, about how to gain more visibility, and why this is important for the next years. And also we talked about why software testers often struggle with imposter syndrome, with self-doubt, and how to deal with that. And now, enjoy the episode. Before we start, one quick note. Do you know this nagging uncertainty that you might have missed some crucial test when it is time to hit the release button? And did these worries ever turn into customer complaints because something was really broken? And there's a way out. TeamScale shows you all untested changes so you never miss one again. On December 3rd, they will show how this works and which success stories it achieved over the past 13 years. Join now online and for free. Visit tul.fm/TS. You also find the link in the show notes. And now enjoy the episode. Hi, Cassandra. Great to have you on the show here.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
Yeah, it took a little while until we get our appointment now here because I had long delays in my schedule and all the stuff. But now I'm very happy that you are here. And just to mention, Chris Armstrong was the one who said you have to come to the podcast show, and now you're here, so I'm very happy. And yeah, I saw a very interesting topic in one of your abstracts in a conference this year, and it was about the visibility, or more the invisibility of tester in all our software engineering project. So I find that very interesting. I want to dive into this topic with you. What do you mean with that? Are we invisible or are we more visible? What's your opinion there?
I would say from the responses I got to the Ministry of Testing Club post that I posted before the talk, just asking, you know, what's stopping you currently from making your work and achievements more visible. Based on the responses I got, I would say testers in general probably aren't as visible as we should be in order to benefit not only ourselves and our careers, but our sort of discipline and the work we're trying to achieve. So what I mean by that is I think that a lot of people, although they might have worked with testers before, they don't really understand what testing is all about, what we do, and especially now as sort of this straightforward traditional idea of testing is growing so much into more like a quality engineering space. There's so much that we can get involved in that people don't really know about, and I think that if they don't know about it, then it makes it a lot harder for them to participate. So then when we think about things like involving other people and whole team approaches to quality, just makes all of that a lot harder.
And where does it come from? Is it more because the testers don't show up in a way that they are get more visible, or is it more a problem of the whole context?
Good question. I think it probably comes from both sides. Testers on the whole seem to be quite a humble bunch, which is the way I started my abstract, because we're always talking about imposter syndrome. And a lot of us as well don't have a computer science background. A lot of us sort of fell into testing or came into it via other avenues, which I think has an impact on our general confidence. So when it comes to sort of shouting about our work, it's not something that comes so naturally to us. You know, we're not generally people to brag without really thinking about it and having a reason to do so. But on the other side of things as well, I think that just the way that some people have historically sort of viewed testing or treated testers as the sort of, you know, like lesser than developers. And, you know, if you can't develop, become a tester, that sort of idea, which is totally unfair. And also as well, the sort of bringing in testing professionals sort of maybe being like an afterthought or the very last step that someone would think to do when starting a software company. I think all of that sort of contributes to this a little bit of a bummer attitude when it comes to testing and testers. Is, you know, we're already kind of starting from like a further back position than our peers. So I think that, yeah, to answer your question, I think the reason sort of comes both from us as testers, but also from, you know, our environment and the sort of other people we're around.
Yeah, yeah. You mentioned the imposter syndrome. It's very interesting because I just had a recording about the imposter syndrome, a special recording for the podcast too. But for people who don't hear that one episode, can you give us a brief explanation what the imposter syndrome means?
Yeah, so basically with imposter syndrome, you feel as if you are somehow lying. So as testers, we, you know, a lot of us feel as if we're not really as good at testing as we think we are, that we don't really know what we're talking about, especially when other people might disagree with us or say, oh, well, you know, I don't think this idea is going to work out. Let's not even try it. Let's not do it. And when people have imposter syndrome, there's that tendency to believe those negative statements, and a lot of them come from within as well, saying, you know, you don't know what you're talking about, you're not good enough at this, you're not experienced enough, these people know better than you do, just keep to yourself, keep quiet. And it's this idea that you'll be found out at any moment, that someone's going to notice that you're not really who you say you are, you're not really a good tester, and everything's going to blow up in your face.
I think that's often a problem, as you said, for testers, because a lot of testers don't have this background in IT science in this way. And that's, I can relate to that so much because I never saw a university from inside except Stanford and Berkeley on a sightseeing tour in San Francisco. But and I often had to deal at the beginning of my career when I said, okay, I'm a programmer, or later on a tester, that I had not that background like other people that studied informatics and information technology in this way. So yeah, I can imagine that this is a real part of why some testers are a little bit of shy in their project environment. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think as well, testing is one of those roles where, you know, people say that if you're doing it right and everything is going well, no one notices. But if you make a mistake, then everyone pays attention. So, you know, whilst developers, for example, they have like the actual software product that they can show for their work, or, you know, product owners have like the user stories that they create, they have the features in the app that, you know, they had the ideas for, that they sort of gathered the requirements for. But testers, we kind of a lot of the time have the absence of things. We have the absence of bugs. We have the absence of realized risks. And of course, we can create, you know, the artifacts of our testing and, you know, test plans, test strategies and all that. That does exist. But again, it's not something that people would automatically care about without having a deeper understanding of what testing quality is all about. And I think it's part of our role to teach people about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very interesting. Let's go into that. How can we get more attention to the testers, or how can we empower them to be more visible in the projects and to be more proud of the work and tell everybody that they're doing a good work? What are your experience there? What works?
So without sort of giving away the whole talk, I'm sure it'll be available to watch online once the videos are edited. But I sort of base the whole premise on the idea of show, share and shine. So to show your work in really obvious, simple ways and to make it really explicit what you've done, but to also share things that other people might find useful, whether that's resources that you've created, like notes from a particularly interesting testing session or a testing dashboard that you've put together, and then to shine a light on your achievements with a brag board. So some of the really basic things that people can do straight away, and which I think will help to maybe adjust some of the attitudes within the team as well, is to just make your work visible on the boards, just like anybody else's work. You know, like the developers who, you know, it's usually their work that takes center stage on our Jira boards or wherever it may be. And then even, you know, product owners and business analysts, they have like the ready to refine column and all this sort of stuff. And in my experience, a lot of the time testers will sort of say, oh, well, I'm not implementing any sort of soft, you know, releasable features, even though they might be implementing something else or they might have other tasks. So they kind of say, I won't put it on the board because it's not the same. It doesn't qualify. But actually, it does qualify. And I think that if people were to see what we were doing, whether that's, you know, the exploratory testing sessions we're carrying out, the automated checks we're programming, I think if people start to see that on an ongoing basis, then eventually they might develop more of an interest and say, actually, what is that about? Can you tell me more about this? Or what have you been working on? Or can we pair on something together? I think that would be a first step to make our work more visible.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a great idea to make this stuff visible in the first way on a technical way with a Jira board or a dashboard or something like that. I remember a project where I was where we put the end-to-end tests on a subway plan and see that if they are green or red and so on, and mm-hmm. they have different names. And it was a very, very visual way of showing the test results and the test status, but it helps a lot to get more attention for the testers and for the testing work. Yeah.
Definitely. And what's quite nice as well is actually where I'm working at the moment. It's a company called Bionix. Our CTO actually had the idea to have a video of our automated system integration tests running in the office, which was quite nice because, you know, that showcases what we've done. It also lets people see the various products that we have available in our suite as well. And again, get people asking questions and get people interested in what that's all about and how it ultimately supports us and what we're trying to achieve.
Yeah, great. I think that all the visibility stuff and what we are doing in the process of software engineering is also very relatable to the part of what are we really doing the whole day. And you mm-hmm. mentioned in our preparation call that the tester is not just responsible for testing, but for so much more. I want to go in this direction too. What do you think is the tester's role today? And maybe it pays into the visibility too.
Yeah, I mean, we, as I say, we can get involved in so much. The possibilities really are endless. I think traditionally when people think about testing, they are talking specifically about testing a physical software product. There's obviously been a lot in the past years about, you know, shifting left, also shifting right, being able to test things before they're actually implemented. So there's that wider sort of testing work that we do, not just on the, you know, the end product, so to say, but at earlier stages and later stages as well. But then there's also things that we can get involved in to do with like the processes, the quality of those processes, the way that the teams are set up, the CI/CD pipelines, even how developers are writing unit and integration tests. There's lots of different things that we can do. Also on the product ownership side, I recently introduced like the 3 Migos sessions in my project. So these are things that maybe testers aren't traditionally involved or weren't traditionally involved in, or people might not say, oh, a tester would probably do that. But, you know, as our role is expanding and as people are realizing that more goes into quality than just the implementation and the coding, I think how we can influence quality has really grown. And I think it's a good thing that we can get involved in so much, especially for people like me who are very interested in lots of different things. There's always something I can learn about, which is really nice. But at the same time, I think it's also important to not become the person that's solely responsible for all of those things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it should be a team effort anyway. So, to look as a tester on the quality of such processes like CI/CD or how we're doing things to get better quality into our project is I think crucial in nowadays when we have our fast-paced world and doing stuff together and creating great software. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And something I somehow forgot to mention as well is a big part of our role is also to, as I mentioned earlier, to educate the other people in our team and on our project and to offer a sort of training and advice and coaching so that other people can develop their own testing skills, become a little bit more confident in their abilities, and so that they can have meaningful contributions to important quality and testing discussions. Because I think that deep down, I think people who don't have tester in their title probably are interested in quality and testing. They maybe don't realize it just because of, you know, again, the traditional ideas of it and maybe things that they've seen in the past or heard about. But actually, I think really everyone wants to build a quality product. No one wants it to have lots of bugs or for there to be some sort of, you know, critical incident in production or something like that. So I think that a part of our job as well is to empower other people and help them to be involved in quality and testing topics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. And it's even more focusing what you said on learning and coaching is a very, very human part of the story, which I think is very crucial when we see what now AI is doing and can help us to focus also on the other side to the empathic and learning mm-hmm. stuff to mm-hmm. help our team to get better in the quality stuff and in quality thinking. Yeah. Mm.
Definitely. And I think there is a lot that AI can do for us and help us with. And I'm sure that, you know, if someone was interested in testing topics and they asked AI about it, you know, I'm sure it would come up with some interesting points, interesting suggestions. But there is something about that human collaboration and working together and being able to share experiences that really has more of a memorable impact, you know. So it's the same way that I personally learn by doing. So it's one thing to read about something, it's another thing to do it. And I think that similarly, it's one thing to learn about something from an AI, it's another to do it together with someone who has, you know, expertise in that area. So something like pairing on testing together or, you know, looking at requirements and sort of breaking them apart and seeing what risks there are there. I think doing that with another human person is really valuable.
Yeah, that's true. You mentioned some points when we can put more quality into our processes and so on. When I'm now here that as a tester, these episodes, hear the podcast, and it's right what Cassandra is saying there. But where to start? Where can I start as a tester now in a project to bring in more value into the all over quality and to gain my responsibility for quality in the team?
I think the first thing to do is to observe what's going on and what pain points people have. I think it's all very well and good sort of saying, oh, I'm interested in this particular topic, or I've just learned about this particular area, I want to do something here. But if you don't get buy-in from the rest of the team or other people on the project, then it's going to be really hard to make impactful changes, especially if, you know, you need other people's support or you need them to change something like a way of working or something like that. So I think that if we're able to first take a step back and see what are the general problems and pain points that we actually have in the team or project, what do other people care about, and what would they be really happy if we were to, you know, improve and make better, then I think that's a really good place to start, because then, you know, you can really bring value and you can show that you are paying attention to what the team needs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. And maybe to get also in contact with the other parts of the project, like developers and so on, and they have sometimes also a good view on the quality side, but no idea how to solve that. But you can take this information too, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Definitely. And I think, again, that's, you know, it plays into the human side of things. I think that testing is actually a very social thing, and it involves, you know, talking to a lot of different people with a lot of different areas of expertise and knowledge. And I think that the better we're able to build personal relationships with our colleagues, the easier it will be to have these conversations about, you know, I was doing this one day and I realized that X thing is actually a bit of a pain, and I don't know, what do you think of that? Or I just want to get it off my chest, you know. And that way you sort of learn things and you're able to pick up on points that you might not have noticed on your own, or you might not have realized that they were as big a problem as they were. But someone who knows you personally and who trusts you, you know, takes that step of sharing that information with you, and then you can, you know, you can really do something about it.
Yeah, that's true. When we think about this context, and a tester wants to see what's bringing the future for me, what would you recommend? In which skills should testers nowadays invest to be aware and able to work, to do a good work in the future?
It's a difficult question, because, you know, there's, you could go along the, you know, the buzzwords and the trend direction. But for me, honestly, I think the core skills are the most important. So that's like your communication, your ability to learn, your empathy, things that are like critical thinking as well, things that are maybe a little bit more abstract when it comes to, well, how do I practice that? How do I develop that? And again, I think a lot of it comes down to doing it, and to first be aware that it's something that you want to maybe work on, and to look out for opportunities to practice it. And I think that it's okay if at first you are just noticing after the fact, like, oh, I could have done that, or I could have, you know, used that as an opportunity. I think that's just the first step, to realize that there are those opportunities there. And then slowly you can start to build upon them, or you can even, you know, it's, I think I personally can sometimes have a habit of thinking, oh, once the conversation is over, it's too late for me to say that thing or to make that suggestion. But, you know, we're also free as well to, if we realise later on, actually, that was an interesting point, maybe that's something we should expand upon. There's no problem just sending a quick message. Hey, really enjoyed chatting the other day. When you were talking about this, it was really interesting to me. Can we follow up on that? Can we talk about it a little bit more? And I think a lot of the time people are really happy to do that, because people want to be heard and people want to contribute to a better working environment and, as I say, better software as well.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Yeah, working on those core skills, I would say, is the most important thing.
Yeah. No, it's great. Yeah. Yeah. I think, there's a nice future for us testers there, and to learn and to adapt to the things that are happening in the software projects. Yeah.
Yeah, that's another good one. You know, adaptability as well. I don't know if some of these are skills so much as characteristics, but I do think that being adaptable and flexible is something that you can practice as well. And I think that when things are changing so quickly, not just in, you know, individual software products, but in the industry as well, and, you know, AI is the next thing that's coming in, and people are trying to work out how to leverage that, and some people are worried about the impact that it'll have on our jobs and whatnot. And I think that a level of almost fearlessness will help people get through these periods, because I think, again, there are opportunities. You know, you can think, gosh, is that going to take away my job, or, you know, am I going to be replaced? And unfortunately, there are some sad situations where that is happening. But I think there are more opportunities to say, okay, this is just another tool that I can use. This is something that I can put in my tool belt, take advantage of, and, you know, sort of use it to supercharge my existing abilities and skills.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Cassandra, thank you very much for all these insights. I hope we can inspire a lot of people to think about their visibility and their responsibility in the teams, and to get it away to learn more, to have more impact in this software world, because I think every tester and quality people are so needed in the next years and months. So I think maybe we can inspire someone to go more into the direction, to show more up and to share more the results. So thank you very much that you shared your knowledge here in the podcast. And I hope we see us soon in person too, in a conference maybe, to meet you there and to chat about the topics there.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me. It was a great conversation. And yeah, I hope people feel inspired.
Yeah, sure. Thank you very much, and have a good time.
Thank you.